Ember and Ice, a Quinn original. Episode 1, Finn.
I turn at the sound, my bow already drawn. But it won't come to that. Not today, at least. It's only a stag. His black eyes stare back at me as I lower my weapon. I whisper to him, but he doesn't move. I flex my wings, translucent in the moonlight. That lets him know I'm serious. The creatures here respect the Fae. He disappears into the trees, and I turn my attention back to the path that winds its way through the forest. My wings ache for the open air, but the thick woods have been harder to defend, a vulnerability our enemy has been happy to exploit. So I held position on the ground tonight. Partially because it's good for my men to see the Moon King's only son doesn't shy from the most dangerous post, and partially because I'm the strongest fighter. If the Solari are going to attack our camp tonight, they'll need to go through me. This forest wasn't always a war zone. The Lunare and the Solari were once the closest allies in the realms, so close that this path was actually clear to lead the Solari straight to my family's hall. When I was younger, I used to climb to the top of the tallest tree as soon as I heard the procession of carriages approaching. I'd crane my neck to see the strong horses, carrying barrels of wine, cakes, and gifts, and, of course, Dane. Let me back up a little. Long ago, the Lunare and the Solari fought side by side to drive out a clan of cruel overlords who were draining the forests and fields. Back then, our families took to the skies together, and it ended well for both sides of the alliance. We divided the land evenly. We lived in peace long enough for me to see what life could look like without war, to learn what a man might want besides survival. Laughter, contentment, sex. Until the Solari got greedy. They started pushing into our territory and laying claim to land that wasn't theirs. My father had no choice but to defend our borders. And so, for 5 years now, the Fae have been at war with themselves. As the only son and heir to my father's title, I've had to step into the role of a military leader. And I'm proud to carry the responsibility, even if it comes with trade-offs. My life has become consumed by strategy, duty, discipline, and whatever keeps our soldiers alive. A Fae commander doesn't get to make mistakes or follow impulse, and I've had to deny myself the things I once indulged in. But there are some nights, out here, alone, that my mind drifts back to the days before the war. My first real memory of Dane was at the celebration of our family's joint victory. I was overwhelmed by all the music and debauchery at the celebration. I was the only one outside in the courtyard when Dane arrived. His hair was ruffled by the wind, his shirt half open beneath his jacket. His older brothers and his father had all arrived on horseback hours earlier, but Dane showed up alone and 2 hours late.
Which way's the party?
It's through there. You missed the whole ceremony. The official map drawing and the full rites of welcome.
Sorry. That sounds fun.
He looked at me for a long beat, and then a smile spread across his lips.
You're Finn, right?
Yes. I'm the only son of your father's most important ally. You'd think you might know my name by now. It's just basic diplomacy, like not showing up late.
I was in bed.
Do you find your duties back home so tiring, Solari?
I didn't say I was asleep. Or alone.
He clapped me on the back and entered the party. That was the first time I remember feeling jealous of him. I had a life of privilege, but also of responsibility. With so many older brothers, Dane was comfortably far from the throne. And with that came something I had never really known. Freedom. A freedom he was constantly rubbing in my face. Every time I looked over at him during the festival, he was drinking wine, or laughing with a mouthful of food, dancing with beautiful women, and showing off his gorgeous amber wings. I couldn't wait for the week to be over and for Dane to leave. I needed to focus on my responsibilities. I was 21 and it was time for me to take on more duties within the court. I just didn't expect the first of those duties to be babysitting Dane. The Solari King was also tired of Dane's excesses, and he had asked my father if Dane could stay with the Lunare, hoping that my demeanor would rub off on his wayward son. My father, eager to impress his new ally, agreed to the arrangement on my behalf. I was so sure that summer was going to feel like the longest one ever. But looking back now, I wish it had lasted longer. Dane was an absolute nightmare for the first week or so. He refused to join me on hunts, he fell asleep in meetings with ambassadors from other fey houses, and his room was directly across the hall so I could hear him all night with whoever he brought home. One night, the sound of his headboard against the wall was so loud I stomped across the hall and banged on his door. After a moment, he opened the door, completely naked.
Yeah? I just... Who's even in here with you? The ambassador to... somewhere west. It's just basic diplomacy, Finn.
You have a mandatory ride with me in the morning, and if you miss it, I'll be writing a letter to your father.
Oh. You're gonna tattle on me?
Just because your future doesn't matter doesn't mean you get to fuck up mine. I went back to my room before he could respond, or before he could notice the way my wings were trembling. I climbed into bed, promising myself it was just because I was angry. Just a rush of emotion. But I lay awake all night. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw his body. His sweaty torso, his broad shoulders leaning against the doorframe, his thick, erect cock staring back at me. Dane was waiting for me in the stable the next morning. He was early, which was weird, and for the first time since I met him, his face was drawn, almost serious. It was good to see him fully clothed again, his jacket marked by the unmistakable Solari gold buttons, and his pants fitted so well they could only have been tailored for him. And yet, for all the finery of his clothes, all I could do was imagine what he looked like taking them off. It was silent the whole morning as we went from shop to shop in the nearby village. I was keenly aware of Dane watching me all day. I thought about how I must look to him, the high-strung, goody-two-shoes firstborn, standing there listening patiently while bakers explained the quality of their bread to me. But as the day dragged on, he kept his face totally neutral. It was driving me mad. Are you sick or something?
Excuse me?
All day you've been...
professional?
Well, you're usually...
friendly?
That's one way to put it.
Well, we're not friends, so...
Is this about last night? There were better ways I could have spoken to you.
Well, well, it appears there is something Finn Lunari can't do.
What?
Apologize.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize my words hurt you.
You told me I didn't matter.
It's not that you don't. Look, it's just... your life seems so fun. All you do is have fun and fuck.
That's not true. It just seems that way because you haven't bothered to get to know me. I have many other interests.
Like what?
Flying. I cannot believe how much time you spend on the ground. Your wings, they're gorgeous. And yet you keep them folded. Why is that?
My father thinks it's dangerous for me to fly outside of training.
But it's fun. Come on. Let's go.
His wings spread to their full span in the afternoon sun, and for the first time that day, his lips curved into a smirk.
You're afraid.
No, I'm not.
Get down here, let me see you.
My wings trembled involuntarily.
I know you want to.
Well, what now?
Now, you show me what you can do.
I took only a second to admire him before joining him in the sky. We spent all afternoon weaving in and out of clouds, diving low enough to let our fingers graze the treetops. As we got closer to the forest floor, I saw he was leading us towards a pond in the middle of the wood.
What do you think? Extremely unnecessary.
Extremely worth it.
Finn, are you okay?
What?
You're smiling.
What are you doing?
I'm going for a swim. I'm covered in sweat in the baths at Lunari Hall. Let's just say this will be warmer.
As he kicked off his boots and stripped away his shirt, I felt my mouth go dry. When he reached to unlace his pants, I snapped my attention to the tree line.
Someone could see you.
Then they're welcome.
His pants fell to the ground and he kicked them into the grass. I couldn't take my eyes off of him. Of course, I'd seen his body last night in his chamber, but here, with the late afternoon sun casting long shadows across his chest, he looked like something carved from marble. I could see the tight muscles of his arms, the long lines of his legs and his heavy cock, which was perfect, of course, like everything else about him.
Are you just gonna stand there? Or are you gonna join me?
I don't know if I can.
Oh, you can't swim.
Of course I can swim. He smirked at me again and turned to wade into the water. This was, I realized, even worse for me. His ass was firm and muscular, somehow smooth and soft too, and I watched its sculpted curve slowly submerge beneath the water. I felt my wings tremble and realized it would be impossible for me to get undressed without him seeing how achingly hard I was.
Come on, Finn. I won't let you drown.
As I took my time undressing, I forced myself to think about tariffs and trade routes in every academic subject I had ever studied. I hoped I had managed to bore my cock into submission as I followed him into the water. I bobbed in the calm water alongside him for a few silent moments.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Why aren't you married? Why? It just seems you're so practical. Is you training with your sword and your bow? Is you studying every map in the library? You're so eager to be the best future king you can be. Isn't some sweet, fertile wife part of the job?
I don't know. My father hasn't picked one for me yet.
You're not talking about a horse, Finn. You're allowed to pick your own. Unless you don't care.
Of course I care. I want her to be a great ally. Okay, well, why aren't you married? You raised an eyebrow at me. I suppose it's obvious. Do you have a preference?
Well, for what? Wine or ale? Nope. For me, it's always been both. You?
I've only ever with women.
Are you curious?
As for dinner, we should hurry back.
Finn.
I kept my eyes fixed straight ahead as I pulled on my pants so fast I nearly tore them.
Finn.
The urgency in his voice caused me to turn around. The water was dripping from his face, running down his body, towards his now rigid cock.
You didn't answer my question.
I stood still, my heart pounding in my ears, my breath caught in my chest. But my wings, they betrayed me and gave him all the encouragement he needed to close the space between us. He put two gentle fingers below my chin.
You've been staring at me all day, breathing through your mouth. It's embarrassing.
He ran his thumb over my lip, and then kissed me. His mouth was warm and soft. It was like something inside of me switched on. I grabbed his head with one hand and buried my hand in his sandy hair. The other crept down his chest. I felt his muscles tremble under my touch. He took my hand and lowered it. Nodded. He placed my hand on his thick, smooth cock and started showing me how to stroke him. Dropped his own hand, allowed me to completely take over. Where his words failed, his wings spoke for him. Emboldened by the effect I was having on him, I slowly lowered myself to my knees. had never done this before. Had barely even let myself imagine. So I began cautiously pressing my tongue to the slit at the head of his cock.
Oh. Oh.
I wasn't sure how much I could take, but was desperate to find out. I felt one of his hands bury itself in my hair. When I stole a glance up, I saw Dane was utterly lost in the moment. I couldn't believe I had him like this. I was wearing my pants, but lowered one of my own hands to stroke myself over the fabric.
What are you doing?
I froze, terrified I had done something wrong.
Are you playing with yourself?
I sat back on my heels, wiping a hand across my chin.
Does it turn you on that much? To be sucking my cock? That you can't even help yourself.
His lips curled into a smile. He lightly pushed me so I was on my back. Then he got on top of me. He kissed me again. Harder this time. Hungrier. His hand began to palm my achingly hard dick through my thin linen pants. My hips rose to his touch and his eyes met my needy gaze.
Finn, you're allowed to want this. You're allowed to enjoy this.
His fingers made quick work of my pants.
What would the court say if they knew that what their perfect prince wanted more than anything was Solari lips wrapped around his perfect cock?
The words brought me crashing back to reality.
Wait, we should stop.
He sat back instantly, and I quickly fixed my pants and found my shirt.
I'm sorry, we can't do this here. Anyone could walk by, especially with us late for the dinner call.
When I looked up, I saw the hurt on his face.
Later tonight, come to my room.
It was my turn to grab his face.
And what I want is to experience the full breadth of Solari diplomacy.
He smiled, and it was impossible not to kiss him again. That was the first night of many. In all the forest and sky of the Lunari land, land that was my right by birth, it was only in my dark chamber with Dane that I felt truly free. He was, for all his arrogance, quite the teacher. And I had always prided myself on being a fast learner. But it wasn't just sex. There were so many nights that turned to mourning. We shared what made us laugh, what frightened us, what we really wanted. In those whispered hours, he allowed me to see someone who was kind and curious and looking for purpose. What I saw as a lifelong burden was something he craved. Although for him, it wasn't about power or impressing his father. It seemed like he just wanted to be there for someone, to be needed. It ended up being one of those long nights together that saved Dane's life. It was just before dawn when all of a sudden the hall outside my room exploded into action and noise. I heard men in the corridor, their armor and weapons rattling, and then there was banging on Dane's door. But he was still in my bed.
What's going on?
Shh, stay here. I wrapped myself in a robe and ran to my own door. I opened it just a crack and saw my father and his guard standing in the hallway.
Well, what is going on?
I knew in an instant everything had changed. My father's eyes were blazing. He explained through a snarl that the Solari had betrayed us, invaded our land in an attempt to take it for themselves. Peace was over, and my father was there to take Dane as a prisoner. I made some excuse and closed my door.
You need to get out of here now. Go.
I threw him some of my clothes, and I watched him back towards the window. We didn't need to say it. We both knew this could be the last time we ever laid eyes on each other. Alive. And then he was gone, fleeing into the night. And when I opened my door, I stepped out into a war. The fighting would go on for 5 years, and it wasn't the last time I saw Dane. We were reunited time and time again in battle. I couldn't see his whole face beneath the steel visor, but the smile, it was still there. Only now, it was twisted in pleasure at striking down my men, at furthering the greedy ambition of the Solari. They were relentless and brutal. Dane was still such a competent flyer. He went from his father's spear to his greatest weapon. And sometimes, I found myself thinking that it would have been better if he had died that night 5 years ago. Whatever I previously may have felt for him, now it's only hate. That's why I try not to let myself remember. I make my way back through the woods and into camp. I nod to my men as I make my way to my tent. I enter my tent without speaking to anyone, desperate for bed. A note has been left on my desk. It's sealed with distinctive silver wax. From my father. But what I read shakes me from my days. Oh my God. A formal truce has been reached. At long last, the war is coming to an end. The Solari and the Lunare will stop fighting. Families will reunite at a historic celebratory summit to sign the treaty. Peace is coming. And so is Dane. I reread the missive to make sure I haven't missed anything, but no. My father is clear. Both families must be fully represented. I'm going to see Dane. How will he react to the sight of me? How will I react? Am I just supposed to shake his hand? The last time I touched him must have been a caress, a kiss. I can control myself, but my wings, what if they betray me? What if they tremble at the memory of his hands, the way he would stroke them as he fucked me? The memory of his strong hands gripping my hips. The dirty things he'd hiss in my ear as my ass eagerly rose to meet his cock. Fuck. I can't act like this when I see him. I can't want him like this. I allow my hand to graze my cock over the fabric of my uniform. God only knows what he would say if he were here, what he would do.
Oh, just like that, fuck.
Maybe he'd apologize. Maybe he'd kiss and drag his tongue down my chest like he used to. Maybe then he'd plant slow, deep kisses on my inner thighs before taking me in his... Fuck. I haven't let myself touch myself like this in... I don't know how long. I imagine him running his big strong hands over my body, stroking the length of my cock, the muscles of his shoulders, how he flexed as he supported himself, taking all of me deep into his warm, wet mouth. I imagine my fingers wrapped in his curly golden hair, gently thrusting up. Until, yeah, he would get greedy, so greedy, and I would have no choice but to. Harder, and he would grip my thighs, his eyes flickering to meet mine, desperate to see me release, so hungry for me to finish in his.
Fuck.
It's good for me to get this out of my system. I close my eyes and I let myself relax. Slowly drifting towards sleep. For the first time in years, the danger is gone. The war is over.